You know, I was thinking of the scripture this morning. You know, we all pray for revival, amen?
Yeah.
We all pray for God's Spirit to be poured out upon His people, upon His church, upon the land, for the newness, the good things of God to be released by His Spirit. But there's always something I'd like to always remember as well. The Lord says that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven. Praise God, He will hear us. But we have to turn from our wicked ways. Amen. We have to repent. We have to acknowledge that which needs reviving, for some reason or another, we have allowed to flatline.
Yeah.
Right? We have allowed to die. We've allowed to go dormant. So there has to come a place in the lives of His people that we begin to acknowledge our failings in order for us to get things back started again. Amen?
Amen.
You can have a key. You can have a gas in the tank. You can have a battery. But sometimes you need a little ether to spray in the engine to get it fired up, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about old engines. Nowadays, everything is so smart that it just thinks for you and starts up. But sometimes we gotta do that, amen? We have to, in order for us, we can't put the cart before the horse. We want God to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. We need to do what we need to do on our end, amen?
Yeah.
Judgment starts in the house of the Lord. It starts here, right? Praise the Lord. Well, at first I want to thank Pastor Scott and Colleen for, I know they've been busy, but it says something about a pastor who gives his pulpit away on the first Sunday of the new year. And that's not because they're fearful, but it's because it's their job to seek the face of the Lord for the congregation for the coming year. Amen?
Amen.
And this is the day that they do it, right? So I'm very honored to have the opportunity to speak today. I'm not going to be releasing vision for the church because that's not my job this morning. I'm asked to kind of fill in and so they could recharge their batteries. Their son Joshua and their new daughter Heather were joined in holy matrimony last week, and their week was very busy. Amen. Amen. It was a wonderful time in the presence of God. Witnessing their union. It was funny because I first was wondering, where's Joshua? Why is he on the drums? And he's like, duh. He's not here. He's in holy matrimony right now. He's experiencing holy matrimony. Hallelujah. Well, we just bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I don't want to act out, but I have my offering here on my binder this morning, and I love giving to God my first fruits, my gifts to Him, are the fruit of our labors, and I want to really encourage everybody to do that, not just for the local body, but for yourself, to be givers, to give what God gives to you, and He will bless you abundantly. I can testify thousands of times in my life in Christ where I gave when it hurt, and God blessed me abundantly. Amen. Amen. Last week, while Pastor was preaching, you know, let me back up a little bit. I think it's important for every adult in Christ to seek the face of the Lord for your life at the beginning of every year. And maybe you've never heard that before. Maybe you do that often. Maybe you have already done that. But I want to encourage you to seek the face of the Lord. For what does God have for you this year? 2021 is specific for you in some way. It's also specific for a body of believers. It's also specific for the global body of Christ. Amen. God has purpose for every facet of His kingdom. And so I want to encourage you, if you've not yet done that, spend some time in prayer asking Him, God, what do you have for me this morning? Speak to my life, I mean this year. Speak to my life. Speak to me. Give me vision. Give me understanding. Give me clarity. You know, Pastor preached on it last week, if not the week before. Oh, last week. If you ask for something good, He's not going to give you a stone.
Right.
Amen? If you ask for clarity, a vision for your life in Him and how you can grow in Him, He's not going to give you a snake or a scorpion.
That's right.
Amen? Isn't that what Jesus said? Think about people that aren't so good. They still give good gifts to their children.
Yeah.
How much better would your Father in heaven, how much better are the gifts that He has for you?
Yeah.
Amen? And so it's also important for us, for ministers as well, to God, what do you want to say to the body for the year? And so last week while Pastor was preaching, the Lord began to kind of download on me some things. And so I grabbed up my phone and I began to write myself a text message so I wouldn't forget it. Have you ever written yourself something in text message and then somehow you didn't send it, you actually erased it? It didn't happen, but it has happened before. So anyway, I began to jot some things down that were kind of getting downloaded in my spirit, and I wanted to share that this morning. I believe it was from the Lord for the church, for us to get a perspective of where I believe he'll be taking the church this year, early on at least, and some of the things he has to say to it. It's not very long. It's very brief. I just heard the Lord saying that, good morning to everybody online. I'm sorry. Didn't acknowledge you there as well. We're glad you're with us. I hear the Lord saying that the church is on the threshing floor of the Lord being sifted as wheat. That's a good thing, and it's also a very difficult thing, because the good thing is we're on the Lord's threshing floor.
Yeah.
Amen? The threshing floor is where you would take your dried wheat that's been harvested, and it would be pounded against the ground,
yeah.
And the kernel would be broken out of the husk. But still around the kernel is skins that protect the kernel while it's growing. And then through the process of threshing, the kernels of wheat are thrown into the air, and through the from the breaking against the basket and breaking against each kernel, the chaff begins to break off. And as it's thrown in the air, the wind would blow through and blow the chaff away, leaving the kernel of wheat behind. And that's indicative of who we are and what the Lord's trying to say to us this morning. So we are in the Lord's threshing floor as a church, but we're being threshed as wheat. Amen?
That's true.
That's difficult. That means that we're going to be banging against each other. Personalities are going to collide in Christ.
Nice.
God's going to keep throwing us into the air until that which provides us no good, right, no benefit, blows away in the wind.
Amen.
Leaving behind something glorious. Amen? He said the chaff must blow away from our lives for the newness of God to be revealed. God is renewing his church in 2021.
Amen.
It's going to come through a process. His focus is on his children, not on those things we focus our attention on. We must learn to take our eyes off of who's doing that and what, or what and why, and draw close to him while the times are calm. The future holds difficulties for many in the kingdom, and many in the kingdom will have a harder time holding close to him. Many will fall away due to fear. Fear grips the heart of those whose focus is not upon him, but upon the giants that oppose them. And then I heard the Lord say that there will be a slowly drifting away. Now, I want to talk about that this morning, about that slow drift. When things look calm and we tend to let go of that which brings the most security to us because we have a false sense of security, and we find ourselves in a state of drifting away. And I want us to let that kind of marinate in our spirits this morning as we enter into this new year. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul tells us, therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Meaning now is a time and season for us as individuals in the church to hang and hold on to the truths that we have received over our time in Christ. If we don't, we run the risk of slowly separating and drifting away from that truth. Amen? See, that's a specific warning to us. See, Paul tells us a lot of very interesting things in his epistles. And one of these things is that if the angels in heaven could be so easily deceived, we need to be very much on watch of what we receive.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Lest we be deceived. Amen? He's telling us that we can never take for granted the things that we've learned or the things that we've received from the Holy Spirit. See, if we begin to take our salvation or our life in Christ for granted, we start on a path of slowly drifting away from the truth. I was looking at the differences of being 1 degree off of a destination when you embark from a location. If you leave San Francisco Harbor and by ship, and you go 1 degree off course, and your plot or your destination is Honolulu, Hawaii. 1 degree off, you leave San Francisco. You'll be almost 50 miles away from the island. If you leave San Francisco Airport and your plan is to fly around the world, circumnavigate the earth, and land on the other side of the country in Washington, D.C., if you are 1 degree off when you fly out of San Francisco, you'll end up in Boston. That's almost 500 miles. In our time with Jesus, we can't afford to be 1 degree off.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Because if we spend too much time away from the Lord at 1 degree off, we'll be pretty far away from him before we know it. And what we receive in that time of separation can radically dictate where we end up in the end. Amen? Have you ever drifted back towards a lost state? Are some of us not where we once were with God? Maybe you were with God strongly at one point in your life and you've gone your own path, and I'm good with God and I'm a good person and I'm going to do my things and I'm doing good, I'm doing okay. But how close are you really to him? Have we ever been more surrendered than we are today? And if we've answered yes, and the list goes on and on, but if we answer yes to any of those things, we could be in a state of drifting.
That's true.
Amen?
Yeah.
It's very easy to drift. Jesus said in Matthew 7 that narrow is the gate, and narrow is the path that leads to life, but broad is the gate, and broad is the path that leads to destruction. It's a lot easier course to take. To fail. It's tough to stay the course. Amen? It takes navigation. It takes effort on our part.
Yeah.
Amen? See, drifting away is a lot easier than we might think. I got 5 quick points this morning I want to touch on of why it's so easy for us to drift away from God. The first one is this. It's a lack of spiritual depth. A lack of spiritual depth. We receive the Lord at some degree, and then we just kind of stay there. I got saved when I was 9, and then I never went back to church, right? But in Matthew 13, it says in verse 5, some fell on stony ground. Jesus is referring to seed being scattered. Where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell along among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Jump down to verse 20. It says, but he who received the seed on stony ground, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. How many of us receive Jesus with great exuberance?
Amen.
Tears in our eyes, men weeping like babies.
Amen?
Amen? Being touched by his spirit is the most glorious encounter one will ever have. Sadly, most of us at times will kind of become complacent with that. We become familiar with that. So therefore, we don't necessarily seek after it anymore. Amen? We just kind of get into the groove. It's like driving to work. You know, you just do it every day. Got to go to work. Got to come home. That long commute. I'm just going to work. And it's kind of that way with Jesus. We're just saved. I love Jesus. He loves me. We sing our songs. We give him 10 minutes a week. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody this morning other than myself?
That's true.
Right? I'm human too. He received it with joy. In verse 21, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, right? That means because of being a follower of Jesus, believing in his word and his testimony, immediately he stumbles. See, if we settle for a shallow relationship, We won't make it through the rough spots.
It's true.
There's nothing to hold on to. See, some believers today have the spiritual depth of a mud puddle. It's small and shallow, and oftentimes it's murky.
Yeah.
Right? It's a little murky. It's a little muddy. See, many Christians think God is okay with this kind of spiritual life. It's like a marriage with no passion. And I'm only speaking to married couples today. I'm not speaking to single people. So we're not talking about passion with you today. God ordained marriage, and husband and wife, to be passionate. Amen?
Amen?
For those of you who are single, someday you will experience that passion. You're not supposed to practice passion, right? You're supposed to give your heart to one person. We're not practicing passion. It's not one of convenience. See, this isn't the social club. You don't come to Christ so you can be a part of the new thing. It's difficult following Jesus. The world consistently tries to strip him away from you and tell you how foolish you are and how much of a waste of time it is. Right? This is the kingdom of God. A lack of spiritual depth will lead us to an empathetic and dead spiritual life. Right? We can't hang our hats of knowing Jesus for 40 years. And only really knowing him for 6 months. It's not so much that you know Jesus. Does Jesus know you? In Matthew 35, Jesus references that exact thing. He separates the nations as sheep and as goats. And the sheep nations were those who represented him and sacrificed everything for him. And then the goat nations he condemned. And they said, but Lord, we did everything that the other nations had done, right? The other people had done. We healed the sick. We cast out devils. We did all those things. And Jesus said, depart from me, for I never knew you. You can't be in a relationship with somebody if the other person doesn't know you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That's true.
Sorry. I know it's the first Sunday of the year, and you thought, this is going to be great. We're going to have a party. No, that was Friday. Thursday. What was it? Thursday. Sam's birthday is on Friday. Our daughter, she's 5. She had her 5th birthday on New Year's Day. And she was ready to have her party on New Year's Eve. And I was in bed at about 9 o'clock because she was up at 5 o'clock to have her party. For Sam, it's like Christmas on her birthday. She's up at 5, like we're going to open presents. We're going to have cake. We're going to have a party right now. So anyway, praise the Lord. But I want to be obedient to the Lord this morning. Amen?
Amen.
I want to make sure that we're hearing clearly as we enter into the new year. Because the times are short. Amen. If 2020 was anything more to us, was an eye opener.
Yeah.
But man, the pressure is on, right? The lid to the pressure cooker just closed and the heat's getting turned up. Or what do they call it, Instapots now? Is that what they call them? Yeah, that's a fancy word for pressure cooker. I know you think it's the newest, greatest thing, but it's just a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Anyway, when I was a kid, the pressure cooker went. I know. Praise the Lord. Second way it's so easy for us. Sorry, I just drew a blank. To drift away is by denying Jesus without knowing it. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 10, it says, and when Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him, Jesus, and they heard it and they were glad and promised him money, so he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Sometimes we think we're doing the right thing, or sometimes we think we're doing things in secret, but it all boils down to betraying the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen? And then you're like, ow, but I love Jesus. Yeah, I think Judas did too. I'm no fan of Judas, but Judas was called one of the 12.
Yeah.
Jesus had purpose and love for Judas. Jesus gave Judas a lot of opportunities to get it straight. He gives us the opportunities to get it straight.
That's right.
Amen. So I can't look at Judas with my finger pointed at him and saying he's guilty unless I look at the three fingers pointing back. Amen?
That's right.
Jesus gives opportunity to each of us to get it right, graciously. See, there are times in our lives when we deny Jesus. We've all done it. I heard somebody just say, not me. Not me. Right? See, we deny him when we choose to sin. When you make a choice to sin, you're denying the power of Jesus Christ in your life. See, there have been times when we've chosen the easy path, when we've sold out. Amen? Or like Peter, we profess not to even know him. Now, we may not say, I don't know him. Do we look different than the people around us? Do we look different than our coworkers who don't know the Lord, that have a language and verbiage that we try to abstain from, that comes out of them regularly? Do we stand up for righteousness when we're in the presence of unrighteous behavior? Right? Do we look different? The third reason it's easy for us to drift away is when difficulties or hard times come. Galatians chapter 4 and starting in verse 8, it says, but then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggary elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Paul is he's confronting festivals and feasts and things that the pagans had done. But now you know God, but why is it that you now want to go back to feasts and beggary and foolish things that provided you nothing, because it has nothing to do with God? That's what he's saying. Hard times come, and at times we fall back to old behaviors.
Yeah.
Right? When I tried to quit smoking cigarettes a long time ago, when the hard times came, what's the first thing I thought about? Having a smoke.
Right.
No, I'm not saying smoking's not a sin. I'm just saying that it'll get you to heaven quicker if you keep smoking them. And then you're going to be asked, what are you doing here so soon? Now he might be upset with me. Amen? But the same thing goes for people with addictive personalities. Man, when the world falls apart, the first thing some people think about is going back to old behaviors. Amen? Man, I've done good for so long, why bother? Go back to old behaviors. You just get drugged right back. Right?
Yeah.
See, when life gets tough, that's when we see what we're really made of.
Yeah.
Amen? This is where your Christianity, where the rubber meets the road of your walk with Jesus. Because it's not a honeymoon forever. Man, when you come to Jesus, that's the sweetest thing. Oh, man, I'm so much in love with him. My life is so on fire for him. I'm giving him everything. And you do good. And then all of a sudden, you lose your job. Then all of a sudden, your child spins out of control. Then you do something else and this happens. Your health fails in some form or another. All of a sudden, your faith is getting tested.
Right.
God allows this so that you learn the attributes of knowing where your help comes from.
Amen.
Right? It doesn't come from the White House. It doesn't come from social media. It doesn't come from the banks. It comes from the Lord.
Amen.
And it may not turn out the way you want.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen? Good people die of diseases. Good Bible-believing Christians die of disease every day. I don't know why. Someday we'll know. But right now, my faith has to be in the one who saved my soul, regardless how I live the rest of this life.
Amen?
Amen? So we find out who we really turn to in difficult times. Is it the bank or the government or the Lord? Number four, we get deceived. We get deceived. Deception is at every turn. When you lived a life of deception, it didn't really seem to make a difference to you. But when you're in Christ, deception tries to trip you up at every turn. Amen? Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and went to pervert the gospel of Christ. Excuse me. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you that we have not preached to you, let him be accursed. Meaning sometimes you'll think, oh, it's an angel speaking to me. No, it's a demon. He was an angel. He's fallen. And he's speaking truth to you because they know Scripture pretty darn well. And they twist and pervert, and they use people and agents around you. Your old drug-dealing buddies and your old girlfriends or your old boyfriends, they'll deceive you. The devil will work through them to get you tripped up to fall. Excuse me. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Sometimes people are swayed to follow a doctrine that's false or unscriptural. Yeah. It is your responsibility to know the truth of the gospel. It is your responsibility. The Lord will hold it to your account. When it comes time for him to open the books of your life and balance your books, there's nobody else around. There's not my abusive ex-spouse or my business partner who was unscrupulous or my tax preparer who told me I could fudge here and there. Those people aren't there with you. You don't get to point the finger, well, my pastor said this. The Lord says, what about this, right? You're held accountable for what you're to know. And so it's important that as you grow in Christ, that you study these things out in Scripture as well so you are familiar with them. And you might read them a million times and it may never click. But I guarantee you this, by the power of the Holy Spirit, when you need to know something, the truth of the Scripture, he will bring it back to recall. I was speaking with a brother before service and we were talking about that. He said, sometimes the Lord I hear Scripture, and I said, well, that's the Holy Spirit recalling to you Scripture that you've downloaded, and it's usually for a reason. Amen? I look at it as like a filing cabinet. Read it, read it, read it, read it. All those files are going into its perfect position, and when you have need of it, the Holy Spirit will open the drawer, pull it out like the old, well, I'm going to really date myself now. Like going to the library, most young people have never gone to a library, but back in the old days, there was cards and little filing cabinet, little files, and you'd pull these little heavy wooden drawers out, and there was a million cards in it, and that was alphabetically where you found the book you wanted to read, and then you take the card, and you go find the aisle 7, you know, shelf 28, and it should be there. And then it was never there, and then you had to go find a library lady who didn't want to be bothered by you, and you had to she had help you find the book. My wife's saying, pull up, Maverick, pull up. See, sometimes people drift away because others have deceived them.
Right.
You know, deception is a very simple thing. You don't need Jesus. That's just deceit. That simple thing right there. Why do you bother going to that church? Why do you bother hanging out with those people? What, they're too good for us? You can't hang out with us? You're too good now? Those are seeds of deception that if we allow them to take root, they begin to bear fruit.
That's right.
Amen? See, we have to constantly strengthen our opinions about God with Scripture. Amen? That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we have men's Bible studies and women's Bible studies and everybody Bible studies. And that's why I encourage everybody to be online or to be in service. You have to be in a place where you're absorbing the truth of Scripture.
Amen?
Amen? Not the opinions of others. If our beliefs don't match up with the Word of God, then we are wrong.
Yeah.
Amen? Number five is another easy way we drift away from God is that we get divided. We get divided. The devil loves to divide. I love God's illustration of sheep in a fold or in a flock or in a field. And in the natural, the shepherd has to watch over the whole flock, not just the ones that are nearest to him. Sheep wander. They don't stick together. You know, if you notice cattle, they'll kind of wander together. One will take off, and for some reason, she doesn't know where she's going, but everybody else follows her, right? Sheep will meander. They'll go do their own thing, and they can get rebellious. Sometimes sheep like to go and try to get into places they shouldn't. So the shepherd has to watch over them. Well, the shepherd knows, the sheep doesn't, because the sheep's really a very simple animal, has no defense mechanisms. You know, when the sheep is attacked, what does it do? Just rolls over and lets whatever is killing it kill it. Shepherds know that in the thickets, away outside the fold, is where danger lies. Water, hazards, prey or predators, right? The sheep doesn't figure those kinds of things out. But the devil wants to use that illustration, or the Lord gives us that illustration, so we understand that if we don't stay close to each other and to the shepherds of the flock, or to the shepherd of the church, amen, that the enemy's just waiting to swoop us up. We seem to think he's going to roar and let everybody know he's there. He is too cunning for that. He will divide you with a broken relationship, and then he'll isolate you with depression and beat you down. He doesn't go to sleep when you rest at night. He's always there to taunt you and torment you if you allow it.
That's
true. Galatians chapter 2 says, Paul says, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face," meaning he got in his face and it addressed a situation. He says, "because when he was to be blamed, for before, certain men came from James." James was Jesus' brother. He oversaw the council of the apostles in Jerusalem. So these men come from Jerusalem, Jews. Before they came, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came to Antioch, it says Peter withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Peter was playing both sides of the fence. Before these men came from Jerusalem, these Jews, Peter was sitting down eating pork with the new believers in Antioch. You see where I'm going?
Yeah.
But when the Jews showed up, all of a sudden Peter would go sit with them and act like a Jew again. He wouldn't associate himself with the unbeliever. He was sowing division. He was saying that these people I could hang out with when nobody else was around, but when these important people are around, now I can't hang out with you. That's division. We can't allow division to take place in our ranks. So Paul gets in his face and says, "You can't do that. You don't get to play. You don't get to play one of the circumcision over here, right? You don't get to play a Jew here, and you have to. And then you get to play Gentile when they're not around. It doesn't work that way." See, so what happens when we get around things like that? Situations like that. Gossipers. Do we associate ourselves with the gossiper, or do we disassociate ourselves with the gossipers? Old friends or habits or co-workers or slanders or sarcasm. Those are things that bring division. Can a body survive without a part? Can you afford to lose a hand? Right? That's what we're talking about here. Dividing things. Saying one thing is important and the other is not. See, there will always be people who seek to divide those around you, to separate. We have to make a choice to stand up when and where God calls us to.
That's right.
You know, standing up for God is not always popular, but it is always the right thing to do.
Amen.
Amen? And when I was putting this together this morning, I really began to think of Christ-like services and all the men and women that are a part of Christ-like services. That, man, you cannot allow division to get inside the work that you guys are all part of there. You cannot allow division to separate. You have to come together, and I keep thinking of a link of chain. You have to link arms by the Spirit, link arms together so that nothing divides what you're trying to accomplish there. Because what you're trying to accomplish there is only a season of your individual lives. But what you do accomplish there is going to propel and promote all of you into the next thing. Amen?
Right.
Where you are today is just where you are. It is no bearing on your future. You are passing through. It's a transitional season of life. So I want to encourage you, don't allow divisive thinking to enter in, even if it's you, from you, and don't receive it from others, even within the house. You gotta kill it.
Yeah.
You gotta kill it. Jesus came to put the axe to the root. That means it wasn't just that it was pruning. No, he came to tear that thing out of the ground. And so there's certain things that we cannot allow to take place in our lives, in our ministries, in our homes.
Right.
Amen? Amen. Jesus said this in Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 2. He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and they are not. And you have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake. And you have not become weary. Nevertheless, you know this is always going to be a tough one when Jesus gives you all these great things about how great you're doing. But he says, but.
Right?
That's just a nice word of saying but. Nevertheless, I have this against you. That you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Thank you, Lord. What is your first love? Your first love is that. That tear that so easily fell down your face when you came to Jesus, where you would do anything for him, amen. Where you'd forsaken everything, you've thrown everything, you've emptied your pockets, emotionally and spiritually, metaphorically and physically, you've given everything to Jesus, and then you've just kind of got into a groove, and forgot about that beauty that came forth with that first embrace. You know, I've said this in first service, and I've said it before in the past, for men especially. Intimacy with God is a hard thing for us to get our head around. It's just a hard thing. Because God refers to himself, when he's God the Father, a spirit. And then Jesus, well, Jesus is he's a man, but he's God. So for a man to get his head around being intimate with a man, even emotionally, it's kind of hard. Amen?
Yeah.
Women have no problem getting intimate with the Lord. Why? Because that's how they're wired. But men, it's like, he's not talking about that, though. I'm here to let everybody off the hook. Oh, guys, I'm here to let all the men off the hook this morning. He's giving us an illustration of what he desires from us, our everything. Our everything, our thoughts, our desires, our fears, our pride, our manhood. He wants us to give everything to him. Amen. He gives us the illustration of intimacy physically in this life, in this body. He gives us that illustration so that we have a better understanding of what it means to be intimate with him. But he doesn't need physical intimacy. Amen. He just wants us to give everything of who we are to him. That's his desire. That's his desire. So I have some essential problems with drifting from God. A big one is that we don't fear sin anymore. See, even good believers go bad when they don't see sin as sin. Rebellion against God and rejection of his grace. You know, we take forgiveness for granted. Or we live in an age where there's no fear of consequence of sin. We don't really live in a place where I think, well, God knows where I'm at and God knows what I'm doing and I'm ignoring what he wants from me. And I'm doing what I want to do anyway. We even see that type of theology and that type of doctrinal teaching on Christian television. It's called ultimate grace. That's not a sound doctrine. Jesus died once for all, but that doesn't negate the need for us to repent when we fail.
Right.
I guarantee I will probably fail before the sun goes down today, and I have to take account for that. Honey, I'm sorry in advance. Just putting a little, I'm just putting a little in the bank. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Christ died once for all, but we have to, well, that's the scripture I used before service. We have to humble ourselves.
Yeah.
We have to repent. We have to turn from our wickedness. That's just wickedness. We seem to think wickedness is a bad guy with a baseball bat beating up people for no apparent reason. No, it's in my heart. Pastor Colleen even said it, man, my heart's inherently wicked.
Yeah.
The depths of my heart is black. I know it's in there somewhere. I choose not to look there. I keep some of those cupboards locked in my heart. Those closets are locked. I don't want to go in there. And I don't want the Lord to go in there because I'm shameful. Wow, here we are, huh?
Yeah.
See, society wants us to believe that God is love and that he wouldn't hold us account for our actions. See, that we no longer need to examine our lifestyle by the principles of Scripture. See, the Scripture is always the benchmark. We're always doing our best to live our lives the way the Scriptures are referring to. Not through religion, through heartfelt change. Through heartfelt desire. See, God is clear on this issue. We know it. We've said it. He loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. So if God hates sin, how can we think it's okay?
Right.
Have we a drifted mentality? Another reason we drift from God, the lack of repentance over sin. We don't think about it. Repentance means to turn away. It's not that we just say, I'm sorry, and go back to it. You know, I'm sorry I got caught, and then I go back to stealing it. That's not how it works. The bigger problem with many believers is that they've given their heart to Jesus, but they've never repented of their sin. See, there has to come a place when, you know, Pastor Scott often does an altar call, either here or he does it online. But there's a second chapter to that. There's the, you need to connect yourself with somebody. You'll need to learn what it means to repent for your sinful lifestyle or your sinful nature. And you've got to turn from that lifestyle.
Amen.
Amen. And grow into what Christ has afforded to you. Because I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior to come to church and be received. If that's it, man, we're wasting our time.
Right.
Amen. Another one is a lack of victory over sin. See, victory begins with forgiveness, but is sustained through attitude. Your attitude changes. Your way of thinking changes. I've got the victory over sin, therefore, you have to learn to hate what it is. See, you'll never get the victory over any sin in your life if you don't learn to hate it with a holy hatred. Does your attitude say that I'm more than a conqueror, or does it say that I just can't overcome? Right? I just can't overcome. See, our victory was gained through Jesus' resurrection from the dead.
Amen.
See, the only victories that Satan can ever have over you are the ones that you give him. Amen? See, we often live far below the level that we're meant to be living at. We have a sense of false humility that I don't really believe that I'm the head. Sometimes I feel like the tail, and sometimes it's more comfortable there. Sometimes how can I claim to be the lender when I'm always borrowing? Sometimes it has to change here. It's an attitude. So we have to stop living in a defeated attitude or a defeated outlook and a defeated expectation. Right?
Yeah.
So you have the victory in Jesus, and it's now the time for us to live out that victory day in and day out. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. See, when we drift from God, we separate ourselves from that source of life. Amen? If I unplug the lights, what happens? They go out. But if the light stays plugged into the wall and the switch is in the on position, what happens?
It
stays on. We have to stay connected to the source of life. If we stay connected to the source of life with everything that's within us, if we anchor ourselves to the source of life with everything that's within us, then we are going to be infused with the life of God.
Amen?
Amen? The life of Christ will dwell within us more richly.
That's right.
Amen? See, it's absolutely impossible to grow in a relationship that you choose to neglect. If you settle for less in a relationship with Christ, we lose our potential in Him. We just kind of throw it away. What's the pearl of great price in our lives? We lose godly passion. When we strive to be like Jesus, it shows in our spiritual disciplines. When I choose to be more like Jesus, my wife sees Christ in me. She hears Christ in me. She wants to embrace me because she's embracing the Christ that's within me. Now, I know that I am all that in a bag of chips, and she has every reason to just think I am the greatest thing since sliced bread. But she is going to be more fulfilled in my life because Christ dwells more richly in me.
Amen.
Amen. I make more room for Him. Right? There was no room at the inn for the baby, but there should be plenty of room for His Spirit to dwell within each one of us. Amen. Amen. So what do we do when we find ourselves drifting? First, we have to be honest and recognize what's happening or what's happened. Man, I'm far from You, Lord. There's things that I'm doing or going on in my life that's really far from You. And sometimes it's not necessarily that's bad. It's that maybe I'm not really growing in Christ. I just come here to make my wife happy. Or I'm more believing that I'm gonna get the pass into heaven hanging on her shirt tails. Right? Like I said, it's all about me and my relationship with Him. See, you can't embrace what God wants to change in you unless you see your need. And you'll never experience a greater move of God if you're satisfied right where you are today. I think people really say, man, we want revival, but they like it the way it is right now. We've known churches that, man, God, there was doing such an outpouring of His Spirit in the church. And it just fizzled out because the people just didn't really like the fact that it was really taking them outside of their comfort zones. If God, we want God to grow in us, we have to really make room for it. Amen?
Yeah.
When we're not striving for more, I mean more of Him, I'm not talking about more works or more church or more. I'm just saying when I'm not hungering and desiring to know Him more, we settle for less. We drift, right? Remember where you are in Jesus, because a deep relationship with Jesus is based on reality, not on hope or feelings. It's not on emotion. See, if you find yourself drifting, repent. Get back to the source. Plug yourself back in to the power source. Right? Return to those things that fire you up spiritually, that fire up your spiritual passion. Maybe you're saying today, I don't have any spiritual passion. Maybe you need the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to pray that God fills you with an infilling of His Spirit, that your eyes would be enlightened, that you would know Him in a greater measure. Paul said, I would forsake all of this to know Him better. I would throw all of this away. To know Him more. I must know this man. That's what Paul said. I must know Him in the power of His resurrection. It's not salvation. It's so much more than that. It's not just being saved and getting into heaven. You know, getting a cheap seat's better than not getting a seat at all. No, man, I want to be at His feet. Armageddon. Armageddon out of here. Right? No, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. I want to understand the depth of what the Father's idea was at the beginning of it all. Man, He kept that secret all that time. Nobody in heaven, the angels, nobody knew what His plan was until Jesus broke out of that tomb. Man, I could imagine the shrills of terror when Satan and all of his minions realized that they'd been duped. And it's not just that they were duped by Jesus. They're duped by us too. Because we receive something they will never receive. our inheritance is greater than anything they would have ever received being good angels.
We need to experience personal revival, personal renewal.
God's renewing us this year, but it has to come through a place of repentance and realizing that we need to be revived, that we need to pick up the things that we've put down, that we need to allow him to breathe life in the things that we've allowed to go dormant. Amen? That's the beauty of God's seasons. It's a new year. It's a new opportunity. The new seasons are coming. Something may have grown in your life and may have died off, but you know what? There's God, the seeds that have come forth from it, and God's going to breathe life in those seeds again if you want. If you don't want, then it can be status quo. God's a gentleman. He's not going to press into your life and make you be or do something that you don't want to be or you don't want to do. Amen? Amen. I want to give you an illustration this morning as Timothy comes up. If you go out to Monterey Bay in the darkness of night, sea otters will be on their backs out in the water. They don't have burrows like other mammals. They don't live on the shore. They don't live in the rocks. They spend their nights on the water, on their backs, sleeping. And they link arms together with their friends or their family while they sleep, so they don't separate themselves from each other. So they, when they wake up in the morning, their brother or their sister or their mom or their dad or their spouse or their babies are all right there connected to each other in a little chain of family. God is desiring for us this morning, as we enter into this new year, to link up with him. There's a sense of vulnerability that we are fearful of, and I think it's part of our human nature, that we're afraid of being without or being left behind or lost. That's why we make a lot of bad decisions with relationships and with career choices and different things as we grow into adult life, habits. We're trying to find comfort in one form or another. What God is telling us is that if we can link up with him and stay locked in with him, that he will be there when we wake up the next morning. Amen. That he will bring fulfillment to us and to our lives. You know, a lot of reason we don't have, especially for young people in this generation, reason that there's lacking of vision is because there's been so much handed to them that was false. They've seen so many things that weren't genuine. They had expectations of people that just didn't measure up, and so because of their disillusionment, they've decided to take their own path and do things their own way. But God wants us to be close with each other and with him. He's going to restore a lot of things this next year. A lot of things that really got blown away. A lot of people's finances, a lot of their hopes and dreams. It's good. Things are going to be restored in a snap of a finger. Quickly. A lot of businesses, a lot of investing, a lot of things that people gave their lives to. It breaks my heart to see some of the suffering that people have had to endure. A lot of the sicknesses, you know, it was a whole year was just stolen. But God is the God of restoration, amen? He's the mender of the breach, amen? He parted the seas so the people had safe passage, and he's going to do the same for us whenever we have need of safe passage. See, when you neglect your spiritual walk for even a short time, you begin to drift away from God. You know, maybe you were good in youth as a young person, and then you went off to college, and you just kind of, I love Jesus, but I'm not really connected to him. I'm not growing. Remember, if you're not growing, you're not going. Right? It's like working out. When you don't work out, you get heavier, you get weaker, you get less motivated. Regular old joints start getting kinked up and sore and tired for no apparent reason, right? You get lethargic and you want to sit down all the time. You don't want to do anything.
See, if you're not close to Jesus as you once were or as much as you should be, make things right with him. Make things right with him this morning. I want to pray with you. Maybe some of you here today or maybe even online, you've never given your life to the Lord. Or you kind of dabbled in it, or you went to did some youth things, and you maybe your spouse or your loved one is saved and you just come to church to support them and you've never really given your life to Jesus. Today's a great day. Today's a great day. Or maybe you drifted away from him and you're realizing, man, I'm 50 miles off course. Right? Got to do a course change. You just do a course change. You just determine today I'm stepping from here to here. Lord, I'm plugging back in. Lord, I've never plugged into you before, but I'm taking my cord, my spiritual cord, my life, and I'm plugging it into you. And if that's you this morning, if we can all just kind of enter into that place, if you've never given your life to the Lord, you can do it right now. Just say these words. Lord, I'm a sinner, and I need your grace. I've never known you, but I know you have the power to save. I acknowledge you today as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you that you receive me just as I am. And I thank you that you're going to cleanse me of every spot and wrinkle. Those that are easily seen and those that have yet to be revealed. I repent to you now for the foolish life that I once lived. And I commit to you now the life that I choose to live in you and for you. Now maybe some of us need prayer this morning, and that's why we're here. That's why we have people that are part of the prayer team here at Freedom Church. I want to ask them to come up. I want us to be mindful. If you have need of prayer, if you need to get back with God this morning, if you need to get close to him again, if you've drifted far, maybe you're not just drifting, maybe you're swimming away from him right now and you're realizing that you need to change your course, and I want you to come up and I want you to receive prayer. And if you need to, or maybe even if you just need a minute with God, take that minute, get right with him again, talk to him. You know, it's not prayer and talking, dialoguing with God is not scripted and it's not ornate and fancy. It's just you pouring out your heart. When I'm sorrowful and I need to open my heart up to my spouse, I just let her know what I'm feeling. I don't need to use King James English. I just need to say, I've made a mess and I'm so sorry. And I've been away from you for this reason or that, and I just want to get right with you this morning. So I'm going to pray, I'm going to release the service, but I want to open this time up for you to come forth and receive prayer. For those of you online, God bless you. Thank you for visiting with us this morning. We know that we'll see you all soon as God puts it upon your heart, releases you to be with us. If you're far away, God bless you. Find a good place to fellowship and stay connected to the body of Christ. Father, I thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, that we're in a new year, a new season, a new time, new life, new growth, new fruit, new benefits. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all your abundant goodness. And I thank you, Lord, even for the difficulties that are yet to reveal themselves through this time of threshing that you've called us to. Give us the grace, Lord, to rub up against one another in such a way that produces your glory, that produces an image of you and the likeness of you that's glorifying in your sight. Father, I thank you for your people. Bless them as they go and they enter into their new year. Give them the desire, Lord, and the inkling to seek your face for this new year, for the vision that you have for each one of us. Father, bless us now as we just give our lives and everything else we have to you and lay at your feet and let your goodness shower upon us. I thank you and praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.